But then Jesus said to the Jews that were questioning when they found it was Jesus, did you do this? Yes. Isn't that exciting? No. You not only broke the Sabbath, did you just say, my Father in heaven did it, so I did it. My Father in heaven did that, so I did that. Are you making yourself equal with God? So now the message is going to start right there. Because he blasphemed by saying he was equal with God, which no man can do. But Jesus is the Son of Man. Not only that, he's the Son of God. Not only that, he's our Savior. Not only that, he can heal you anytime he wants to. Not only that, we're free. This man was freed for 38 years from being crippled. And he griped and complained when Jesus saw him. He said, you want to be made whole? Well, yeah, but every time I tried to go down there, my legs won't do it, and I don't have a man to carry me down and put me in the water. Somebody else steps down before me. I mean, it's terrible. And did you know that the Jews murmured for 40 years in the wilderness? They were murmuring the whole time. Golly, he's making sin really sinful. You not only have to have a Sabbath day, and you can't break those rules, and you can't only go 2,000 steps, and then you're getting in trouble. So no work on that day. What if a lamb would fall into a ditch? Could you haul it out? That would be a good work. No, you can't work on that day. Well, what if it amounts to money? Well, yeah, you could work on that day. But if it's money, yeah, you can do that. And so they were contradictory. Can you see how the Jewish people should be celebrating on the Sabbath day, the day of rest? Instead, they're worrying about whether you kept the Sabbath day rules and regulations and restrictions that you had. So they determined to kill him, Jesus. But not only that, since he also said, my Father, are you saying you're God's, your Father? That's evil. This is a holy day. Now you've done two things. You blaspheme by saying you're his son, and you blaspheme by breaking the Sabbath, and you made this man walk around. We're going to kill you. We're going to kill you. And I don't care if it's on a Sabbath day, we're going to kill you. So how many know that when Jesus was killed, it was on a Sabbath day? It was before a high Sabbath during that week, because he was in between the three festivals, unleavened bread, right, Passover, and first fruits, Sunday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But it actually began on Thursday night, because Thursday night is actually Friday night, because beginning of every day starts at night. Did you know that? So God makes light come out of darkness. So it starts at night when the sun goes down, and then in the morning, that's day. But it starts at the night, so the evening before, and it's all mixed up. Hardly anyone can read the Bible and understand it. Because it's saying a lot of things like, whatever that means, I have no idea. But you didn't read the first part of the Bible. How many know that people don't read the Bible carefully? Mm-hmm. They don't read the Bible, but it's all good news for me. Yeah. Everything in the Bible is a promise, a promise, a promise, a promise. That when Jesus comes, you're blessed. Because the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. So the first time he came as a priest, and he was the priest that carried his blood to the Father. He said, Father, now that I'm resurrected from the dead, I wanted to show you my bloody hands, and then, you know, this and that, and so on and so forth. So he showed him all that, and the Father said, wow, well done, good and faithful servant. You're really good. So can you imagine Jesus going up to heaven on our behalf, not on his own behalf? And he did it. Look, they killed me here, and they killed me here, and they killed me up here, and they killed my, look at my feet, you know, they killed me everywhere. They wanted me dead, dead, dead. And they didn't care if it was high Sabbath or what it was, whatever day it's want. Then they worked it out so it wouldn't actually be on the Sabbath. It would be the night before, And then Sunday would be the night, the morrow after. Now, you'll realize, so he actually kept the Sabbath by doing no work. Jesus was in the grave. He was in the grave. And so they actually did do what they said. Let's kill this guy, but make sure it's not on the Sabbath because we just bawled him out for breaking the Sabbath. How many know the laws are not good for us? You know the purpose of the law?
Show you can't do it.
Right. Because the reason he gave it is to make sin exceedingly sinful, more than your conscience just says. Everybody but conscience knows they're right and wrong. Everybody's in this world. Jacob, everyone in this world knows there's right and wrong. If I came over and ripped that beard off of you, you'd know that was wrong. You would just know it. It's not fake. This is real. Is that a real beard or you just go to the thing? Yeah, no, it's a real beard. So that's an awesome beard. That's a good one. And so you'd know that was wrong. Everyone knows right and wrong. When you were conceived in the womb, God wrote on your heart, this one's mine. This one belongs to me. No other God will have this one. I determine life and death with this one. I am the one that determines everything. Wow. So no emperor can be over me. No pastor can be over me. Nobody. No pope can be over me. In religion, in daily life, no one can be over me. I'm me. And God loves me. And I'm his son. Did you know I'm a son of God?
Yeah.
Not just because I'm a pastor. You're all sons of God. You're all priests, and you'll all be kings. Amen. When he comes back again. When he comes back again, it could be soon. Soon meaning the next thing on the agenda. And soon doesn't mean you know what day and hour. Soon just simply means this is the kingdom of God is at hand. It meant right there, it's the next thing on God's agenda. So I'm here to preach the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom. Gospel, euangelion, that means good news. Everything in the Bible is, for me, good news. Karen, isn't that powerful?
Oh, definitely.
Everything is powerful. Even if I sin, even if I sin. How many know that sometimes Christians do sin? How many know that? Sometimes. And besides, you don't know what good and evil is, because only God knows that. So you didn't even know you sinned. I thought I was doing a good work, but he might call that an evil work. Oh, man, he gets to define everything. Your parent in heaven knows exactly what's good and evil. He's good, you're not. So anything you do in this world, if you're not born again, everything you do in this world, if you're not born again, is evil. Everything that God does is always good. So it's better to have God do for me rather than me do for God. Because even if I think I'm doing a good work, it might not be. Right? So you have to ask your parent. God, is this okay? He wants you to humble yourself and realize you're not God. You've never been God. You'll never be God for all eternity. You'll never be good. Did you know God is good? Did you know that no one else is good but one, God?
Amen.
Only God is good. So you're not good. You'll never be good. But if you're in relationship with Jesus by faith, then you're good. So you can do even sin, but no, I didn't do sin. My old man did that, but I didn't do that. And so you have two people inside of you. One is your new heavenly man, and the other is your earthly man. Your earthly man sins all the time under the law. But your heavenly man never sins because of Jesus' promise. The good work I began in you, I will surely complete. So I don't have to see it to believe it. I have to believe it, and then I'll see it. First is believe. Second is the deeds. But he does the deeds, so I didn't even do the deeds. So every deed I did, he did. When he died, I died. It's no longer I that live. Christ liveth in me. You know all that. And the life I live by the faith of the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. He's always for me. He's never against me. Everything he's done is good. Everything he's done, perfect. Perfect sacrifice saved me. The blood of Jesus, that blood of Jesus that he had to show the Father, of course the Father sees everything, but he wanted to show him. He went to heaven and said, you know, look at this, God. Okay, now go back, because this is just resurrection day. You got to go back and talk to your disciples and breathe on them. Get them a new life. Wow. All these silly things are God. All these ridiculous things that God does, all he has to do is speak a word. It's right there. It's just, and if you're a son, you always do what the Father says. But what if the Father says, break the Sabbath and do this, because you're not under a law, you're under grace. Ah, that he set me free. That crippled guy was free that day. And he was carrying his bed. The guy that healed me, well, what's his name? I don't know. The guy just cured me, and I'm free. And he said, carry your bed. Pick up your cot and carry your bed. So I broke the law, but I didn't know I was breaking the law. I didn't even think about it. I was healed, and I've been free. And I don't care what you're talking about. I'm glad after 38 years of moaning and complaining and griping.
Praise God.
How many here are moaners and gripers and complainers? How many here are moaners and gripers and complainers?
I'm not claiming that.
Yeah, but we do it. Even if you do it secretly, you're doing it. And he sees all that. And so he knows that you wanted happiness all the time. So God will actually cause you to be a slave of other people. Did you know that? Did you know you're supposed to love everybody?
Yeah.
Everybody you meet, black, white, yellow, green, you know, whatever. You have to bless everybody. Equal. They're equal. Because they're going to be sons of God. And if they're not, pray for them. Forgive them. Love them. Bless them. Did you know that? And he made you a slave. Even though you're free, now you're a slave. But the minute he gets you, he sets you free. So you're free, and then he makes you a slave, and then you're free again. That is your freedom, is to love your neighbor as yourself. Because you love God with all your heart and soul and strength. So he does everything for us. So parents are really good for children. Most of you have two parents, mother and father. Well, everybody does. That's all you got. And as you grow up, I don't know that you've found this out, but your parents aren't perfect. I don't know if you've found that out a little bit. Because as you grow older, you realize they're not perfect. And then you have to forgive them, though. Even though they're your parents, you have to forgive people that sin. How many know that there are a lot of sinners out there?
Yeah.
So much that it's 100%. It's 100%. Because you're not perfect yet. Until Jesus comes back, then you'll see him. Now you're just believing in him. But if you add belief to anything you do, it's acceptable to God. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly. You have to be ungodly to be a Christian. To them that are ungodly, he justifies them. Why? Because he counts their faith as righteousness. He counts it. I mean, it's not really righteous because you sinned. But he counts that as righteousness because you had faith. So you're saved by faith. The just shall live by faith. And live doesn't mean just bios. Live means zoe, or zoane, or zoes. Different things on the same word, because it depends on whether they're nouns or whether they're adjectives or so on and so forth. So, but zoe is eternal life. So you live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Now he justifies you. And so he has explained everything perfectly. And I read this every day because it's good news every day. I read, you know, I read 5 hours a day. So before I start my day, I get up at 5 and then go all the way until my first teaching is or whatever. So every day I do it. And do you know what? You can even do it with your wife. Isn't that amazing? You can do it even with your wife. Did you know if we read the Bible together, it actually changes your life? Did you know faith comes by hearing? And Peggy was reading in the Bible today before we got here. And as she read, I was so excited hearing the first verse. I got my whole sermon. It's just exciting. So I'm totally comfortable with this world, with Al-Qaeda, homosexual agenda. I love it all. It doesn't bother me at all. Did it ever bother Jesus that people were sinners? He came to forgive sinners because you were ungodly. And now he not only justifies you by faith, now he also cleanses you from all unrighteousness, and then he also perfects you in love, and then he also marries you because you're a bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. And wow, all of that, can't even think about all that. But whatever it is, it's good for me. Right?
Amen.
And so when people judge you, forgive them. Do you know some of you have relatives that you don't like? I'm just making this up. You have people that are close to you that you know so much about them, you know they're no good. That's what you know. And you judge them that way, Judy. It's amazing. I don't like your sinning. And it irks me. I wish you'd shape up and do what's right. Have you ever thought that as a husband or a wife? And so it's neat how God really cares that sin he hates, but people he loves. Sin he hates, and even sinful people, he loves them. And God is the only God in the world that loves sinners. Buddha doesn't. Hinduism doesn't. Muslim doesn't. Catholics doesn't. Jewish people doesn't. They're all under law. But we're not. Jesus set us free. The greatest work of all is that Jesus loves you just the way you are.
Amen.
He doesn't want you to shape up. He doesn't want you to clean up. He wants to clean you up. He wants to shape you the way he wants.
Amen.
But you have to give permission to him. Jesus, do whatever it takes. Get rid of all my sin. Isn't that what you do? Yeah. So don't help me, though. Don't assist me. Just relax. Well, it's hard for me to relax. I'm anxious already thinking about it. Relaxing is even hard. Did you know most people that you live among are not relaxed? They're not comfortable. They don't even like themselves. And whatever you do, they're not pleased. Did you know that?
Yes.
You ever been in a relationship with somebody and what they do is stinks? It's horrible. And you just, even though you don't say anything, you think it. What's wrong with that person? Why do they wear that clothing? She doesn't look good in flowers, or she doesn't look good in stripes, or she doesn't look good when they go this way, and so on. You're constantly judging everybody that you know. Constantly. Well, that's not good. That's wrong. If I were you, I'd paint my house. If I were you, I would be on time. If I were you, and you're constantly judging, critical of everybody else except yourself. Because you have reasons for doing what you're doing, judging. But everybody else, with the judgment you judge, you'll be judged. So I don't judge anybody. Why? Because I do it by faith. Didn't you see that little trick I came up with? I do it by faith. And so every day I say to Peggy, Peggy, you're the best. And every day I say, I'm so blessed to have you as my wife. I couldn't have a better wife than you. Despite the fact that she sins and does all kinds of judgments and so on and so forth, I just love her the way she is. I don't want her to shape up. I don't want her to be clean. I love her just the way she is.
Amen.
And then every once in a while she'll say back to me, well, I love you too. Is that because of our kids and grandkids? Yeah. Oh, so you don't really love me. You just love me because we produced all those kids and grandkids. Yeah, that's true. But then now sometimes she just says, no, I'm glad I married you. I wouldn't want to marry anybody else. Oh, every once in a while. It's a free gift. I mean, it's just like free. But it makes a better marriage, right?
Amen.
So Peggy has worked on this for years because she was taught as a young girl, don't sin. Have integrity. Do what's right. And her parents both, her mother was mad at her because she once frowned at her or did something else and so on and so forth. And then her father always sat her down and said, let me teach you this one thing, you must have integrity beyond reproach. She didn't even know what that meant, but it sounded bad. And so you don't go against him. So if you grow up under a law, you're going to have rules and restrictions and all kinds of things you can't do. And kids hate you for that. I mean, even if they love you, they also hate you at the same time. Right? Because nobody wants to be restricted. Especially as I grow, I want to be happy. I want to be happy. And parents have rules and laws. Hey, you be back by 10. And everything bad after that, sin. So you'd be back by 10. Well, I think it's going to last to 11. Well, then make sure you get home exactly at 11. Okay. But you see, kids don't like restrictions. None of us do. None of us in this room. We actually want to be God. And we actually want to replace God. Because if I were God, I would do it differently. But how many know God wants to restrain everybody? And he says, the best thing that ever happened to you is my laws.
Amen.
It's the best thing that ever happened. I don't like your laws and rules and so on. And other people pick that up and they got rules and laws. Everybody has rules and laws. If you work for a certain company, they want you to dress this way or say it this way. Everything in the world is law-driven. We're the only people free. We are free forever. You can just be yourself, a nasty self, an imperfect self. You can be yourself in front of God. He's not mad at you because any fixing, he'll do the fixing. You need new life, he'll give you new life. You need a new soul, he'll give you a new soul. You need to walk righteously, he'll do that to you. He'll do everything for you, to you, in you, through you. And when men see your good works, they'll glorify the Father, and they don't even know him. But they'll see, wow, what you just said, that was like God speaking to me. Because everybody knows right and wrong. Everybody knows. But right and wrong will not get you to heaven. You can follow your conscience all you want. It will not get you to heaven. It's a sin. And you know you sinned. And you feel guilty. And you feel stressed, and you feel diseased, and you feel unstable. But God didn't do that. You did that. God didn't do that. You did that. How many know that your stress is due to you? Did you know that? That's your own decision. Why are you working so hard? I have to. Well, do you want to work with that person? No, but you have to. He pays more. Isn't that funny? So people are under laws, and they make up their own. Even if God didn't, they'd do it. But before the Ten Commandments were given, everybody knew there was right and wrong. Everybody's guilty. But the conscience won't get you to heaven. You don't know if there's 50 gods or two. You don't know anything. You don't know if God's for you or against you. You do not know that unless God reveals it to you. And Jesus came to reveal, not the Jewish thing. He was there to destroy the Jewish law. And he broke the Ten Commandments. He broke them deliberately. But he didn't break them in God's sight. He broke them in man's sight. Because man's interpretation of it was different than what God wanted. God always wanted you to be free in this world. Totally relaxed. Totally comfortable. Are you totally comfortable? Relaxed at all times? You don't have to prove anything to anybody. You know that you're just wonderful just the way you are. But that's only because God imputes to you and said, you're wonderful. Well done, good and faithful servant. How many know that you're not? you didn't done well. But he counts that because of faith. Yeah. He counts that because of faith. You just have faith in Jesus, not faith in myself. How many know faith in yourself is a sin? Well, I can do that. Well, I can accomplish that. Well, yes, that'd be that. Write down my. I can do that for you, God. I can go to church. I can tithe. I can do all kinds of things for God because you're talking about my strong points. Did you know God doesn't see any strong points in anybody? He doesn't see anything but nothing. Did you know you're created out of nothing? Ex nihilo. You're just created out of nothing. Did you know God just created you by talk? Let there be. And there you are. Did you know when you were born from the heaven? And God wrote upon your heart, this one belongs to me, this one belongs to me, this one belongs to me. No pope, no emperor, nobody's above you. You don't have anybody except God. And God happens to love you just the way you are, right? Okay, now let's read verse 19. 5:19. John 5, verse 19. Then Jesus, he just said, they just accused him, you're making yourself equal to God. Is Jesus equal to God? No, he's not equal to God, he's God. He is God. He has life in himself. So the Father is that way, the Son is that way, the Holy Spirit's that way, because they're a little boule. Boule is the Greek word for a little council up in heaven, and they decide everything. Did you know God's fully in control today? The Muslims don't have a chance. The homosexuals don't have a chance, because those are forbidden. Anyone under a law doesn't have a chance, unless you pray for them. Now, if you pray for them, there might be hope. Because you're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. You're the dwelling place of the living God. You're exactly where God lives. Did you know when Jesus rose from the dead, he came to live in you? He came to live in you, to get right into your heart, give you a new heart. You're regenerated. Now you have a new life. Woo! That's exciting. Remember when you came out of the womb? You went like this. Yahoo! Yeah. Or did you come out like this? Bah! Everybody came out and misunderstood God. They hated me without a cause. Bah! I was better off in the womb. It's cold out here. And so when the baby's born, it might be purple. One of our kids is purple. I don't know which one. It's David.
Margaret.
Margaret. Yeah. Margaret was purple. I was there. That one's purple. No, the cord was around her throat or whatever. Oh, well, that's bad. But, you know, she didn't come out happy. She came out like that. Right? But now she's a Christian. Being a Christian is all there is to life.
Amen.
I'm going to say it again.
Yep.
Being, not acting like, being a Christian. And every once in a while, you might act like. Every once in a while. How many know it's intermittent?
Yep.
It's kind of like a yo-yo. Boing, boing, you know. And you never know when it's going to have a good, you know, hour or day or second or moment. And when you're going to be, you know, bad. But if you're not under a law, you don't care. If there's no laws, and people today think love makes no laws for their children. Don't spank them. Don't say they're wrong. Don't criticize them. And so. No. That's the best thing for kids. Raise your kids with the law. Don't do that. We're Christians. We don't do that. I always say that to my kids. By the way, the devil operates in the world. When I grow up, I want to be a nurse. You know, it doesn't matter what you say because the world is more wicked than you imagine when you get out there and mingle with people. Did you know that people can be nasty? And they can be judgmental and critical. But thank God, none of us are. Thank God. Well, I have a perfect church. Start with Randy right back there. Perfect. You're perfect in God's sight. Why? Yeah, he created you. You didn't create yourself. Your parents didn't create you. That's just God's way of doing it. But he created everybody. When you're in the womb. And he wrote his little signature on you. This one's mine. This one belongs to me. It's my property. And I'm not going to let anyone else be your God. I'll judge you. Then he gave you the law, which you couldn't keep. He gave you the law that you couldn't keep. Be ye perfect as I'm perfect. If he's the standard for perfection, yuck. I can't. It's hard for me to be perfect. Did you know that? Even though I'm a pastor. It's hard for me to be perfect. And then to keep it up. But it says in the Bible, you have to keep the law. And then you'll go to heaven. But nobody ever has. All have sinned. All have sinned. All means all. I mean, if all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, then all have sinned and fallen short. What is the glory of God? Oh, that's mean being like Jesus. Walking like him, talking like him, being like him. Wow. Well, who's going to do that? Jesus. The minute he died, you died. The minute he rose, you rose. So you're now resurrected from the dead, even though you haven't seen it. But in a little while, you'll see it when Jesus comes back, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's only coming back to get rid of all the wicked people. Every single one. And he knows everybody from the heart. All the secrets of your soul, all the secrets of your heart are only known by God. No psychiatrist can do it. No psychologist can do it. No social worker can do it. Nobody knows who you are. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. You don't. Nobody actually knows all the troubles you go through. It's just you. You're the only ones that know. Well, life was rough. It was hard. But I made it. You never made anything. Did you know you're not a creator? There's only one creator, and he happens to love you. So, I'm in good shape. If God is good, and if God is gracious, and if God is merciful, and if God is kind, and God blah, 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 blah. If he does all of that, I'm in good shape. And I believe that. And Peggy can tell you, I believe it even when I'm sleeping. I believe that. No matter what, I believe that God likes me. And, you know, amazing things can happen just if you obey the word. How do you do it? Well, just all the things he said to do, do them by faith. Just do them by faith. Don't actually do them. Just do them by faith. But you count that as righteous. So I did it by faith, and that's all I wanted. Because actually, you didn't do what you were supposed to do. I did it for you. I'm doing it in you. I'm going to do that through you. And men, when they see your good works, they'll glorify me, the Father. So the Father is glorified when we do good works, which we didn't do, but Jesus did them. Isn't that amazing? This is the only religion like that. There's no other religion like ours. Here, you don't do for God. You don't even try to be perfect for God. He'll perfect you. And when he perfects you, you had nothing to do with it. Well, I helped him a little bit. No, you didn't help him a lot. You didn't cooperate. You didn't do anything. You were griping and complaining, just like Israel. You're inwardly, if you're left on your own, you'll gripe and complain about everything. If you were on an island all by yourself, you'd gripe and complain. Gee, yesterday I ate of this apple tree and it tasted good. Today, it's blah. You know, you'll gripe and complain about everything. How many know that that's who you are if you're under a law? But maybe there's no law. Maybe Jesus removed the law and gave you the gospel. Because he promised to bless you, and the good work he began in you, Dan, he will surely complete. Do you believe him? So you'll be perfect. He'll be perfect. But you will never see it until he comes back again. You won't see it. But when he comes back and says, go to my right, well done, good and faithful servant. You'll just go to the right. And then for the others, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers. Go in there. And they'll be surprised because a lot of them go to church. A lot of them go to church. And the bulk of humanity will end up in Hades and be judged forever and ever, and then end up in the lake of fire, because fire will constantly burn. It never stops burning. Permanent. But so is your crown. Did you have a, you have a crown? When God puts a crown on you, that actually can be interpreted as a garland of roses that never fade. In other words, your crown could be a garland on your head, which never fades. Because in eternity, nothing fades. It's permanent. You are permanently now a believer. But you're not just a believer, you've been discipled. But you're not just disciples, you're a lover. And that God did for you forever. Amen? Amen. So you're going to have a garland around your neck or a crown on your head, but whatever happens, you can't damage it, you can't do anything to it, it's permanent. That'll be your life forever and ever and ever, just like the angels in heaven, the good angels. The bad angels, lake of fire. The good angels, be in heaven forever and ever. So 2/3 of them are still up there. Well, that's a big number. Did you know everybody has an angel that looks over you? There's a lot of them. Myriads upon myriads. In other words, you can't even count them. They're numberless. And did you know that the righteous are numberless? You can't count them either. But you have to be righteous by faith. You have to be righteous by faith. So in other words, don't put any pressure on yourself, because God never pressured you to do anything except be blessed. When he blessed Shem, Ham, and Japheth, he blessed everybody in the world. Everybody that's alive today has been blessed. But they don't know how to get it. Some don't get it. Pray for them. Talk to them. Bless them. Love them. Forgive them. That would do it. Right there. You could actually do it yourself. Don't wait for God to do it, because God's using you as a son. He's using you as a bride. He's using you as someone that belongs to him. This is the greatest miracle that was ever done, that Mary, his mother, believed God, and it was accounted to her as righteous. It's powerful. She needed the Savior too. But she kept everything in her heart. She kept it there. I have no idea what he's talking about, but it sounds good. I'm going to have a son, and that's going to be the Son of God. I've never heard of that before, but that's the part of the tradition. Someday a Messiah will come along and so on. I guess I'm the mother. And she believed the angel Gabriel that talked to her right that. That's why we named Mary's baby, our daughter-in-law's baby, Gabriella. Because Gabriel, the angel, spoke to her and said, I'm going to do a miracle. 19 years you haven't had a baby. I'm going to just give you one. We prayed that way every single day, Peggy and I. Every day we prayed for several things, but that was one of them. Was that they would have a baby, though they couldn't. None of the doctors gave them any hope. But a Jewish doctor here in Dallas, someone said, we tried him and he is great. So then they tried him and he said, well, there's good news and bad news. Let me start with the bad news. You only produce 3 eggs for in vitro. You only produce 3 eggs. And if one of them goes wrong and then another one, that's all we have. You weren't able to do enough. Okay. Well, here's the good news. You have a 5% chance. That's all you have. What? They said 5%. Nobody's given us anything. 5%, Mary. So David was so excited. 5%. So they were so happy they went home and got pregnant without the eggs. They didn't do anything.
Really?
They didn't know it.
That's awesome.
And then they came back and said to him, hey, by the way, you're already pregnant. This thing. She looked at it and she went, no, that's in the wrong place. So she threw it away. And then the Lord said, no, go back and look at that again. She looked at it again. No, it's in the wrong place. So she threw it away again. Then she went to bed. And then the Lord woke her up and said, did you really see it? Oh, I don't know. She looked at it. It's in the right place. I'm pregnant. David, wake up.
Oh, gosh.
I'm pregnant. So they went to the doctors the next day, the one that said, you know, you only have 5%. And he didn't know anything that they were doing. They didn't know that they got pregnant. But he said, you're already 7 weeks into it or whatever.
Yeah.
What? No.
Amazing.
That's because we were there last time and you said, you know, there's 5%. And we just went on that and got so happy that we just forgot and just got pregnant and we didn't even know it. That's a miracle. So everyone that prayed for him was amazed that you could go so long and all kinds of problems came up, all kinds of incredible problems that, well, we can't do it today because of this, and you have this problem, and you have to this, and then you have to get your teeth fixed, and da-da-da-da. And so she was just constantly badgered by, this thing is not going to work. It's not going to work. But then when they had that word from the doctor, they realized this is Dr. Jesus talking to us. They had that baby. So they smother that baby with laughter and joy unspeakable. Says, you just look at her and she's just so sweet and smiles and so on and so forth. It's great. Peggy does. Peggy goes down all the time. Can I go? I don't think so. That's their baby, not yours. So, but she wants to see that baby and hold the baby.
That's it.
Margaret is in love with that baby. So, it's powerful.
Yep.
And that's why our oldest daughter has 8 children, because she loved babies. And she just had them one after another. So every 2 years, got another one. So she has 8 of them. But she now doesn't know what to do with herself because she said that was her joy. So it's great. How many know that God is good?
Amen.
Okay, what he's going to say right here is so powerful. Listen to this, and then the message is over. This is so powerful. Then Jesus answered and said to the Jewish people, truly, truly, I tell you the truth. When it says truly, truly, that's twice. Truly, I tell you the truth. I say to you, the Son is not able. The Son is not able, capacitated, have the power to do anything from himself. Now, remember, he's not Son of God. He is Son of God, but he's also Son of Man. So that's the Son he's talking about, the Son of Man that was sent from God to earth to be our Savior. The Son is not able to do anything from himself except what he may see the Father doing. So the only way the Son can do anything is if he can see him. But it's a spiritual sight. It's a spiritual sight. Anything that God does, Jesus does. If he doesn't do it, he doesn't do it. The same as us. Did you know you're that way, Karen?
Yes.
Whatever God says, do it. Why? Because you saw the Father doing it. You have to be able to see him. How do you see him? Through the Word. You see him through the Word. Faith cometh by hearing. You see him through the Word. And the more you see him, the more he reveals himself. And the more he reveals himself, the more he multiplies himself. And the more he multiplies himself, the happier you get. And the more you want to hear from God every day.
Amen.
Yes.
About your life. Isn't that true?
Yes.
It's so exciting that your past life, you forget about it. You forget about the past life. I used to have to read all these self-help books. I don't read them anymore. You don't read them anymore?
I don't.
You probably threw them away or gave them away.
There's one self-help book.
Yeah, this one.
That's the Bible.
The Bible. Too powerful. So that is the power of God, that he wants every one of you to have a relationship with him that he initiates. You don't initiate it. God, I'd like to know you. You can say the words, but you can't control them. God, I want to know you. But you don't know if it's right or wrong, and he knows. But at the right time, he may send you through troubles and problems and so on. Trust him. I always trust him. Why? Because I don't care what the homosexuals think. They're not going to make it unless I pray for them. Unless I bless them. We have 2 living next door to us. And, they're good people. I mean, they behave well. But you don't go to heaven because you behave well. Because that's in your own ideas. But it's not God's idea. So they don't want to admit that they're sinners doing what they're doing. And so they're sinners. Isn't that exciting? I mean, you know, that's God's problem. This is not your problem to save them. It's just your problem to pray for them to be saved.
Yes.
It's your problem to get along with your neighbor. To love your neighbor. So Peggy has talks, and I have talks with them, and they're out in the, you know, out in the yard. They have immaculate home. I mean, everything, every blade of grass is perfect because they really work hard to do what they do, and it's amazing. And so they're good neighbors. They're really good neighbors, and so the problem is that they're homosexual, and you know, it's in the Bible. And one of them said to me, I'm sure both of them, but one of them said to me, I'm a Christian. I said, are you a Christian? Yes. Smiling. So they think that what they're doing is Christian, but it's not. And so I like it. But Peggy's blunt when she went over. He said, my partner and I, are you homosexual? She just said that right away.
Wow.
Just said, are you homosexual? Yes. Okay. It didn't stop her from loving him. It just, she just is blunt. Yeah. Are you homosexual? Yes. And so there it is. And so now they know that I'm a pastor living next door to them. And we have great talks. I mean, good ones. But someday they're going to ask me a question. They'll ask me. I don't have to ask them. They'll ask me a question. Because they know, we know everything about them, but they're going to ask me a question. Now, what do you think about, you know, whatever? And I'll have the answer. I don't even have to think about it. I know exactly what I'll say. So, we love everybody. Don't have any problem on love. So, that one is clear. And they know that. So, they'll accept that. But, on the other hand, what you're doing is sinful in God's sight. They'll like it. They'll like it. Because if you love them, that's all they really cared for. Mm-hmm. But then if you say you love them, they're not against that. But they were against, oh, you think what we're doing is sinful. Yes. I'll be real eager. Yes, that's eager. So you have to know that and have it by faith, and I'll start witnessing to them about Jesus Christ. What'll happen? That's why God had them move next door to us so we could witness to them. You have to believe that. You have to believe that everything in your life is designed by God. You have to believe that everything in your life, all the troubles you have, everything, it's all designed by God. So that you can't make it without Him, but you can make it with Him. You have to have a relationship with the living God. And that's, I don't even have to think about what I'm going to say. It'll just come out. Because every day I'm happy. And every day they're happy. But they're happy in sin. But I don't want them to make provision for sin. For the flesh makes provision for sin. And so they know it. They know it. And they exactly want to hear these words. It doesn't make any difference. You're my neighbor. You're my brother. You're my brothers in Christ. No problem. They'll accept it. So why are they there? No accident. Why are they there? Exactly so that I can witness to them about the hope that's in me, right? Always be ready to give the hope. So the Father can do nothing except He wants to do it. The Son can do nothing except the Father does it first. Because Jesus is not Son of God here, He's Son of Man here. Because He was sent, and he's capable because He's Son of Man, He's capable. Mary was His mother, so He's Son of Man, but He can die. Everyone born of woman will die. But when you're born of another man, Jesus Christ, you live forever. So it's better to be born of the original man, Adam. But this is the second Adam. The first Adam was tempted and fell. You don't have to worry about that. God said, I'll never tempt you beyond your strength, and I'll be your strength. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. He's your strength. He's the capacity you need. He's the power you need. The word is full of power. And when you preach this word, it saves people just like that. It sets people free. So are you afraid of the homosexual agenda? Are you afraid of Al-Qaeda? Are you afraid of, you know, being harmed and hurt? Well, then you don't know God. Okay, it's okay. He forgives you. All sins are forgivable. All sins are forgivable. And he forgave them 2,000 years ago, yea, 6,000 years ago. Before the world began, he already forgave everybody. Jesus was laid down. They slew him. The word is slain. He was slain from the foundation of the earth before there was an earth, before there was the foundations of the new world. So we're part of a new world. Everything is going God's way.
Amen.
So who would like testimony today that you're a son of God, that you're the bride of Jesus Christ, that you are part of God?
Amen.
Because God didn't ask you to do it. He did it for you.
Amen.
Now he's doing it in you. Then he'll do it through you until you're dead to this world and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Now, you die daily. Every day, Paul says, I die daily. So every day he sees his sin. And he knows you can't go to heaven if you still have a sin. But since I don't do it, he does it. It's easy. It's not hard. How many know it's not hard? If Jesus does everything, then it's not hard to do nothing. Otherwise, you'd think you helped out. That's a problem. Prove it, God. I am a Christian. I know I'm a Christian. I really believe in your word. But could you give me some proof? He's not going to give you any more than the bare word. What he gave you, you be satisfied with that. That's the food he wants you to eat right now. Read that word and don't ever judge it. Don't ever criticize it. Just do it.
Amen.
And boom, all of a sudden faith will come.
Yep.
If you want proof, you're not going to get it. What he did on the cross was finished. Remember he said that? It's finished. It's finished. Everything I need to do, what you sent me to do, being the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, I've done that. I've forgiven everybody. Everybody. I've forgiven the homosexual. I've forgiven Al-Qaeda. I've forgiven everybody. Now, I want you to just do what I say. Live by the word. The written word always leads me to the living word who's speaking through that written word to me. His life is in me. The kingdom of God is within you. It's not out there. You can't observe it. All the other churches, all the other religions have things you can see. Our religion has nothing. Just that word. And if you believe just that word and you go, I don't feel like that, just do it anyway. Well, I don't understand it. Just do it anyway. Well, I don't want to do it. Just do it anyway. How many know that'll kill you? That kills your flesh. Every time you do that, your flesh is killed. Just do what God says.
Amen.
So, you can do that, Willis.
Yes.
You can do it with your wife, with your daughter, with your son. You can do that with your friends. You can do it with anyone. Just don't think. Because your thinking will not get you to heaven. Don't feel it. Because your feeling will not get you to heaven. Your wanter, your voluntary wanter, will not get you to heaven. Just do what he says. Obey him. Then he's pleased with you because you had faith. The just shall live by faith. Not by faith plus seeing. Seeing comes later. Someday we'll see him. It doth not yet appear. But we shall be. But we know that when he appeareth, we shall see him, not just hear him. That's hearing, that's how you get faith. You read that word, get faith. Then now you'll see him as he is. And you'll be able to do anything that he wants you to do. That's the way it is with the angels. He just speaks a word, boom, there it is. And he who thus hopes in him will be what? If you hope in him, because right now you have faith and hope. Hope someday this is all true. No. You'll actually see it. But when you see it, he who thus purifies himself as he is pure. You'll be just like him. Exactly. There's the likeness. Chair four is the image of God. Now you're new creation. Brand new creation. Not like the old. You're not Jewish. You're not Gentile. You're nothing. You're now a new person that'll live forever and ever and ever. World without end. Wow. That'd be then you'd be dead. That actually kill you. If you believe that, you know, I just didn't believe it because I wanted to. I didn't believe it because I understood it. I didn't believe it because I wanted that. I just believe. You can't explain it. How do you believe? God did that. God did that. He wrote those words, and they're full of life. They're full of power. So there's therefore now no condemnation for them which are in Christ Jesus, and everybody here is. Why? Because you do not work according to the flesh. According to the flesh, you don't work that. But on the contrary, in the Greek, Allah is different than D-E, duh. The Greek, and they both say but. But in this case, the but is on the contrary. But on the contrary, you walk after the Spirit. That's describing you. That's describing who you are in Christ, though you don't see it. You do not see it. So if I say to Peggy, I love you with all my heart, soul, and strength, and I'll never leave you or forsake you, that's the way God wants me to talk. I'm learning the language of heaven. So I always talk this way, Jacob. I always say, everything is going my way. Everything. Is it Jacob?
Judah.
Your son is Jacob. I get you mixed up. Too many J's. Judah. So everything that God wants you to do is written in the Word. Just read it. Don't even understand it. Don't even read it like, I want to get a revelation. Just don't read it for any reason. Just read it. Because that's what he said to do. Comes by hearing. And speak it out loud. When I read the Bible, I want it read out loud. And so when I read to Peggy and she reads to me, that's out loud. So I can hear it. I want to hear that word, and I get so excited. I'm so beside myself, you know, it's like, wow, that's too powerful. Now, that's joy unspeakable and full of glory. So, I love everybody unconditionally. I do, by faith. I love everybody, and I'm joy unspeakable, full of faith. I don't care what I'm really feeling. I don't care what I really understand. I don't care. I just live by God. He's my only beloved. He's my only, and I say it every day. I'm your son. I'm your blessed one. And I'm going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, even though I don't deserve it. I know I don't deserve it. But I do, because he wants me to do that. And he counts that as righteous. I'm not going to argue with him, because I don't understand that. I would never be like that. If I would never say to anyone, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I said that to Peggy, but I do it in faith. But someday I'll actually feel it, understand it, and want it. Well, I'll wait for that, because this is a promissory note. Promissory note are always time. They're always time bound. A promissory note is, I can't give it to you right now, but I'll give it to you, you know, next week. Or 2 months from now, or 2,000 years from now, or 6,000 years from now. It doesn't matter. It's a promissory note. And I believe. And you can hold on. Abraham has waited thousands and thousands and thousands of years for him to have the whole land of Israel. All he had was Isaac. That's the only thing that he saw, was Isaac. But he didn't see that all of Africa would be his, and all of Syria would be his. He didn't see that, all the way to the Tigris-Euphrates rivers. It's all mine. So everything is mine. And since he believes that, his bones are still in Hebron. I didn't actually see the bones, but they're behind this beautiful, you know, tapestry. And Sarah's bones and Joseph's bones and Jacob's bones, they're all there. It's only Leah's there, but not Rachel. Rachel, her bones are in Israel. They're in Israel proper, not just in the West Bank. So everything is going God's way, and you are now a Christian. Say it, I am a Christian.
I am a Christian.
And you're a Christian that has faith in everything that's written in the Bible. Whether you read it or not, I don't care. You read it, because someday you read it and you didn't understand it. The next day you read it and you understand it. Or someday you understood it and the next day you can't. I mean, it doesn't matter, because there's more to it than meets the eye. You have to read between the lines. And when you do, it's always good news. It's always good news. So, we have the perfect family here. Amen. Perfect family here.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Which is the perfect family? All of us, but also individually. We have Randy and Judy at the back. Perfect marriage. Did it look like it? No. How many did you say you almost counted the other day?
42.
42 years? Yeah. That's so 42 years they were wanting divorced. Let me get rid of her. Let me get rid of him. Can't stand them. But now here they are. It's a miracle. You must have had a lot of faith, Judy. Randy, you must have had a lot of faith. Maybe God had that in you all along. Maybe all you did was, well, I do want a divorce and I do want to get rid of this person. However, I have two kids and whatever. Maybe I'll stick it out. Even though it's miserable, I'll do it. But then all of a sudden, God can touch it after 19 years, 42 years, whatever. He can just touch that situation. Boom. The miracle takes place. When that happens, it's joy unspeakable. It's joy unspeakable. So every way, and I don't want you to do what I say, I want you to just do what I say. I want you to say to your wife, to your husband, to your mother, to your father, to whoever around you, you're the best. I'm so blessed to have you. I want you to say that, because everybody's the best.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
So you are not only a blessing receiver, you're a blessing giver.
Amen.
As the Son doesn't anything except the Father does it first, then you do it like Him. No, you're like Him. You're not Him. You're like Him. You're not Him. You're like Him. Beholding Him, we are changed from one degree of glory, sanctification, to another degree of glory, glorification. You will be. Remember it says all men have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. Here is the glory of God, that you'll be like Him. Not just have the image, you'll have the likeness. Betzalemnu kedemutnu in Hebrew. It means you are made in our image. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Our image, not my image. Our image. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So you can read then the Old Testament where it says, you know, Bereshit bara Elohim. The im on the end means plural. The Jews read that every day. In fact, the word for salvation is Yeshua, which is Jesus' name. So they're reading about Jesus all the time, and they don't even know it because their eyes are blind right now. But couldn't God in the last second open their eyes? Yeah. So don't worry about it. The Jews will be there too. The Gentiles will be there too. The Esauites, the Edomites, they'll be there too. Everyone will be there out of every nation, tongue, and tribe. They'll be part of the kingdom of God. After He judges you, He always takes out a faithful remnant that believe. Only God knows how He does that. Nobody can know that today. You just know this. Every tribe, every nation, every. So when God does that, that means, hey, we're not done yet. We are not done yet praying for the world. You're not done yet with Africa. Next month I'll be in southern Sudan.
Wow.
And I'm going there to speak to churches and leaders and so on. But I'll be speaking to 20 members of parliament. And they're all Christians. But they're all corrupted. That's normal, like here. It's not unusual. But we have the big words, but we don't live them either. And we have the big words, but we don't live them either. Because everyone that gets into politics feels that they're better. That they should be richer. That they should have perks. And so it's hard to find a clean representative that represents you. They don't even call me. You know, when I vote for somebody, they don't even call me. But when they ran, they said, and I'll be in touch with you, and you can just call me at any time. But you get a secretary and so on. You know, you never get the person. So they're not representing me at all. So I fell for it. I fell for that. That guy was so sincere. He even cried and said he was a Christian, and so on and so forth. But when you call him, you can't get a hold of him. Well, he's not in the office today. He's down in Austin or whatever. So don't you think that's funny? Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Funny. You only have one God. You don't need two people. You don't need anyone else. You just need one God. Praise God. You don't have to be perfect to do perfect things because God does them. You don't have to be perfect to do perfect things because God does them. So, you think you're doing it, but you're not doing it. You're just simply being like him. And he who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he's pure. So, we're all pure, even though you don't see it. But someday you'll see it. You don't want to see it today. In fact, tell God, I don't want to be perfect today because I know I'm not. I'm simul justus et peccator. I'm at the same time a saint and a sinner. I'm justified and I also am peccator, sinning in Latin. So that's the truth. Everybody has two natures inside of themselves. So when the bad nature comes out, say, that was me, God. You know, when the good nature comes out, that was you. So that's about it. When the good nature comes out, you know, that was God. And so I heard him and I did what he said. And but always add salt to it, which is the same thing in the Old Testament, salt. Makes everything acceptable to God. That's your faith. Faith is salt. Salt is faith. You are the salt of the earth.
Yeah.
You are the light of the world. That's you. And say that every day. You're salt. You're light. In other words, you do it by faith. I have faith in Jesus. I don't have faith in myself. I have faith in Jesus to keep his word, his promise. Can never get rid of that. All right.
Amen.